Does it seem easier to tear down a home than to build it up? Here's Nancy DeMoss-Wahlgemuth.
No matter how well you can cook and clean and sew, no matter how clean your house is, no matter how beautifully decorated your home may be, you can destroy it all with one little instrument all the time.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Wahlgemuth, author of Adorned, for July 23rd, 2021. I'm Dana Gresh. What would happen if you were trying a new recipe, but you didn't measure anything? You just threw in whatever amount of ingredients you felt like. It would be a disaster, right? If flour and sugar are worth measuring, how much more important is it to measure our words? Learn to speak carefully as Nancy continues our month-long theme, Be Kind. This message is an excerpt from a larger series based on Proverbs chapter 31.
What if I were to tell you that for the past week, we have had a little recorder going in your home, and it's picked up everything that has been said in your home in the past week? Everything your kids said, yep, everything your husband said, and everything that you said. And we've managed to obtain the tapes, and we're going to play them on Revive Our Hearts for everyone else to hear. Do we have any takers? I don't think so. And you know, it's a sobering thing to me to realize, and I need to think about it more often, that everything I say is being recorded. That God is recording. He's taking into account every word I say. You know, some of the things I said in the last week, I wouldn't have said it in this room, in this setting, because I'm being more careful now about my words. But isn't it sad that we're so much more careful about the words that we say outside our homes than often we are inside our homes? Proverbs 31, we've been looking at that passage for what seems like, well, it's been weeks. But we come to verse 26 today, where we're told that this virtuous woman opens her mouth. Now, this is the first verse that says anything about this woman talking. The description started in verse 10, and not until we get to verse 26 do we see any reference to this woman opening her mouth. That should tell us something. This is not a woman who talks too much. She's not known for her talking. There are other qualities that she's known for: her servant's heart, her compassion, her tenderness, her diligence. But when people think of this woman, it's not what she talks about that's the first thing that comes to mind. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. I love this verse. Well, maybe I shouldn't say I love this verse. What I really mean is I need this verse. And it's a verse in Proverbs 31, probably more than any other, that I come back to over and over again. Proverbs 31, 26. If you're going to memorize one verse in Proverbs 31, you may want to consider making it this one. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law, or the teaching, of kindness. Wisdom and kindness. Now, let me just give us a little context here. First of all, we're talking about a woman who's being described primarily in the context of her home. Now, that's not the only place she is, but she's a woman whose life centers around her home. So we're talking here not just about the way she talks when she's at church, not just the way she talks when she comes to a Revive Our Hearts recording session, but the way that she talks when she's at home, with her husband, with her children, or some of you perhaps with roommates or living with extended family members or in other living situations. But this is the way she talks in her closest circle of friends and relatives. So many of us talk in ways outside our homes that we don't think to talk inside our homes. When I saw different ones of you this morning, I was quick to greet you, to ask how you're doing, how's your family. I was tried to be warm. If I wasn't, forgive me, but I was trying to be. And when we see each other at church, I mean, we're thinking, how can I encourage that person? Are we thinking that same way when we're in our homes? How can I encourage? How can I speak words that lift up? You know, I find when I go to visit my family, I live alone, but when I go to visit my family, I find that oftentimes I don't have the common courtesies with them that I do with people outside my family, that I'm not as quick to say, how are you doing? And then to listen to their answer, to speak words of wisdom and kindness. And then there are things I do say in the context of my home that I would never think of saying outside the context of my home. In the way that I react, you know, if a guest comes into my home and spills, you know, some liquid soap on the carpet or whatever, and they're feeling very terrible about doing it, I'm going to say, no matter, I was planning on replacing that carpet tomorrow anyway. Don't worry about it, it's no problem. But let somebody in my home or in my workplace or somebody that I'm close to get into my space or annoy me or do something that I find that bothers me, and I'm going to be quicker to point it out, quicker to be critical, quicker to speak words that are not wise or kind. So this is a verse that we're probably quicker to apply outside our homes than we are in the place where it matters most. And that's where we live every day. And let me say, by the way, I know we have some single women here and a college student. These are things you don't wait till you're married to learn. These are things you need to learn with your roommate, with your people in your work environment, learning to speak words of wisdom and kindness. I want to say that no matter how many domestic skills you have, no matter how well you can cook and clean and sew, no matter how creative you are, no matter how efficient and organized you are in your home, no matter how capable you are in your workplace or in your home environment, no matter how clean your house is, no matter how beautifully decorated your home may be, you can destroy it all with one little instrument called the tongue. It's a scary thing to think what damage we women do with our tongues. And that's why I have to go back to this verse over and over and over again. Say, Lord, make me the kind of woman who opens my mouth with wisdom. And on my tongue is the law or the teaching of kindness. Now, this requires to be this kind of woman, it requires self-control. Our problem is that so often we don't have self-control, so we just say whatever we think. And especially when we're with people that we know really well, we just let down our hair and we're not so conscious about what we're saying. And we live in a day and age where it's encouraged to just be open, just be authentic, just say your feelings. Listen, the fact that you think it or that you feel it doesn't necessarily mean that you should say it. Now, I'm not promoting dishonesty. I'm not promoting hypocrisy. But I'm saying there's some things I feel that I don't need to say. And the fact that I don't, that I may be feeling out of sorts, or there are times of the month when we struggle more with our reactions because of the way we're feeling. Physically, there may be seasons of life where hormonally things are just going bonkers, and we want to just let it all out. And I'm saying we need at those times and those seasons of life. Maybe it's just because it's late at night and you're exhausted. It's been a long, hard day, and that's where we need the Holy Spirit in us to restrain us, to control us, and not just to say everything we're thinking. You say, but my kids do it. Where are your kids learning to do it? Now, your kids need to be trained, and I'm not saying the fact that they are unrestrained means necessarily that you are, but I'm going to tell you, if you want to develop children who have self-control with their tongues, one of the things that will help a lot is for them to have a mom who lets the Spirit control her tongue. Here's a woman, she opens her mouth. It's a sense that she does this deliberately. She opens her mouth when she has something to say that needs to be said. She doesn't just blurt out stuff. She's not a gushing stream. She's a woman who speaks words that are measured. They're thought through before she says them. Her mouth isn't always open. someone said to me recently, I wrote this down, when I got home, I tried to remember it. Here's the way I remember it. Some women have to say something, and some women have something to say. There's a difference, isn't there? Some women just have to say something. They walk in the room, they just got to say something. And some women have something to say. And when they do, they say it. Now, if we're going to be women who speak with wisdom and kindness, that means we have to have a wise, kind heart. Because our words reflect our hearts. And you don't just wake up one morning and have a wise, kind heart. That has to be cultivated. It has to be tended. It has to be developed. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what comes out of my mouth, if we were to take that recording that I threatened, told you we had in your home last week, you say, well, I didn't mean all that stuff. You know what's really sad? It all came out of the heart. It did. It reflects my heart. So if I want my words to be different, I need to say, Lord, I need a different heart. I need you to change my heart. And that may require repentance. It may mean acknowledging first to the Lord and then to your husband, to your children. I've not had words that are wise and kind, and it's been a reflection of a heart that's angry or impatient. Please forgive me. And then allowing the Lord to change you. And he can and he will give you that kind of heart. It doesn't come overnight. But as we allow him to mold us and shape us and change our hearts, then what comes out of our mouths will reflect the repentant, kind, wise heart that God has put in us.
What kind of words have been coming out of your mouth today? What do those words reveal about your heart? Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth will be right back to tell us more about speaking carefully. All this month at Revive Our Hearts, we're focusing on the theme, Be Kind. Pretty simple. And we're letting you know about a booklet by Nancy called A Deeper Kind of Kindness. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed a lot of unkind words being thrown around, especially in social media. I think we could all use the wisdom and kindness Nancy's been talking about today. I'll let you know how you can get a copy of A Deeper Kind of Kindness in just a few minutes. But right now, let's get back to Nancy and Proverbs chapter 31.
Well, we're on a subject that always makes me a little bit uncomfortable. And it needs to. And in a sense, I hope it makes you uncomfortable, because we as women need a constant reminder from God's Word about the words that we speak. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, which for me is one of the most convicting verses in this whole passage. It's talking about the way that she uses her tongue. She opens her mouth with wisdom, the scripture says. This virtuous woman, this woman of excellent character, when she does open her mouth to speak, it's with words of wisdom. And on her tongue is the law or the teaching of kindness. Some of you are homeschooling your children. Any of you who have children are teaching your children, whether you realize it or not. And you're teaching them a lot. You're teaching them a lot about life. But you know, you're teaching them more sometimes when you don't realize you're teaching than even when you're sitting down in a more formal, structured time to say, this is our class time. When you teach your children, is it with the teaching of kindness? When you correct them, which they need to be corrected, by the way. That doesn't mean you don't ever say hard things to your children. But when you correct them, when you point out things in their lives that need to be changed, do you do it with kindness? You know what? If you're reacting to their actions, you're going to find yourself not teaching with wisdom and kindness. But if you can step back from the situation and get God's perspective on it, then you can be controlled by the Spirit of God. You don't have to be lashing out. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be saying things you wish you hadn't said, because you're under the control of God's Spirit. And that's why it's so important that before we start our day, before we open our mouths to speak to others, that we first get into God's presence and let His Word come into our hearts, into our minds, so that when we open our mouths to speak, what we say will be controlled by what's filling us, which is the Word and the Spirit of God. If you want to have wisdom, if you want to help speak to your children, your husband, and others with wisdom, if you want to know how to give godly counsel, your children are asking you questions, others are asking you for input. How do you handle this situation in life? And your kids are needing direction about their future. You need wisdom as a woman. How do you get it? Well, the scripture says the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs chapter 2. So you want to be able to have wisdom to speak to others? Then you've got to get into this book and get this book into you so that you know how to speak a godly word in due season. You know how to speak words that will minister grace to the hearer and will minister to the need of the moment. If you want words that are kind, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. You say, my children are acting in such a way, or these people I work with are acting in such a way. It's just so hard to respond in kindness. It may be impossible for you, but it's not impossible for God. And his Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So he's able in those moments to give you a response that is one of kindness. Now, let me say, as I've said before in other sessions, that doesn't mean you'll never blow it. You will blow it. I blow it. I had lunch with someone last week and ended up in a conversation and just saying more than I should have said. And name of another Christian worker came up, and someone that God's really using, but I had heard something that was negative about that person. And I managed in my conversation with my friend to share what I had heard. As soon as the words came out of my mouth, I was convicted in my heart. I'm thinking, I didn't need to say that. I mean, it wasn't really ugly, but it wasn't kind. It wasn't necessary. It didn't minister grace to the person I was telling it to, and I certainly wouldn't have said it if the person I was saying it about had been sitting in the room. But you know, it wasn't until I got back home that I was willing to deal with it. I should have just stopped right at that moment and said, I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. Now, the problem is once we've said it, we've said it. But having said it, go back and make it right. Go back to the Lord and say, please forgive me. That wasn't kind, that wasn't wise, that wasn't true, that wasn't necessary. Whatever is the principle of God's word you violated. And then if you've said it to someone else, whether it's your mate or your children or a fellow worker or somebody at church, go back and make it right. Humble yourself. And you find if you humble yourself every time you sin with your mouth, you'll start to sin less frequently with your mouth. If you know that every time you blow it, you're going to have to go back and make it right, you'll find that you begin to think before you say it. Stop before you speak. Think and edit before you speak. And that may just mean saying less. A woman wrote me recently and she said, I was convicted about my, quote, little sin when I read the transcript of one of your programs on Revive Our Hearts. She said, right now there's some tension between my teenage daughter and me, and I have a tendency to use too many words. We can all relate to this, whether you have teenagers or not. She said, I never really considered my overuse of words to be sin, but now I see that too many of them surely lead to sin. From now on, before I utter one word to my daughter, I want to consult with God for the few right words to say. I believe this insight will help to restore a right relationship between my daughter and me. See, this is important, and that's a wise woman. You know what else that is? That's a repenting woman. And that's what we all need to be, repenters. Not just past tense, I repented when I got saved, but repenting today. When I sin with my tongue, with my lips, when my spirit and the way in which I say the words isn't appropriate, if I say too many words, repenting. And saying, Lord, fill me with your spirit afresh. Give me words of wisdom to speak. And by the way, I just referenced the way that we say what we say. Especially in our homes, that tone of voice is really important. Kindness is not just what you say, it's how you say it. And the danger with speaking too quickly is that oftentimes we speak out of the anger of the moment, the irritation of the moment, without stopping to let God first settle our hearts. That's why it's not a bad idea to stop and count to 10 before we open our mouth, but to say it with a tone that is kind. Listen, your children will be far more responsive to your instruction if it comes with a kind tone. And I know that it's real easy when you're with these same people all the time to start to get in a tone that's nagging, that's unpleasant, that's critical, that's demanding, that's controlling. But that's where we need to let the Lord give us His Spirit so that when we speak, those words will reflect that kind of tone. I quoted several sessions ago a passage about Sarah Edwards, who was the mother of 11, and the wife of Jonathan Edwards, who was a leader in the First Great Awakening. And this writer says that Sarah made it her rule to speak well of all, so far as she could, with truth and justice to herself and others. To speak well of all. That's a good policy to have. She was not prone to dwell with delight on the imperfections and failings of any. And when she heard other people speaking ill of others, she would say what she thought she could with truth and justice in their excuse, or divert the slander by mentioning those things that were commendable in them. In other words, if she heard somebody saying something unkind about someone else, she would try and change the conversation or divert the conversation or to say something encouraging about that person. Thus, she was careful of everyone's character, even of those who injured and spoke evil of her. And she carefully guarded against the two common vices of evil speaking and backbiting. She could bear injuries and reproach with great calmness, without any disposition to render evil for evil. But on the contrary, she was ready to pity and forgive those who appeared to be her enemies. What a commitment to speak well of all. That's what the scripture says we should do. Not to grumble against one another, not to criticize one another. In fact, Proverbs tells us that if you are the kind of woman who is contentious and critical with your tongue, that you will drive your family to the place where they would rather live on the roof or in an attic or out in a desert by themselves than to live in the same house with you. I've been reading through the book of Proverbs recently, and this thing about contentious women has really been striking me. Argumentative women, always debating, always arguing, not opening their mouth with wisdom and with kindness. You can drive your husband and your children and your friends away if you have that kind of spirit and that kind of tongue. So before you speak, ask yourself, is what I'm about to say wise? Is it worth saying? Does it need to be said? You say, my family won't even know who I am if I start living this way. Well, that's okay. It'll have an influence on them too. Is it wise? And is it kind? Will it edify? Will it build up? Will it refresh my family members? Will it encourage them? And it's important that you do say things that do encourage. Don't just think, boy, I got to go home and now I can't open my mouth. You know, now that I've heard this session, I can't say anything else in my family. Know the things you do need to say. Someone came up to me on a break just now and spoke encouraging words about what God was doing through the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. They stopped. They spoke words of encouragement. You need to do that with your family. When's the last time you affirmed, you praised your husband? You need to praise your children when you see qualities in them that are worthy of praise. Just simple words like, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for serving me in that way. Thank you for blessing me in that way. I really appreciated it when you did this. You know, you do so much more instruction, effective instruction, with that kind of language than with words that are critical and tear down. So if it doesn't meet those qualifications, if it's not wise, if it's not kind, don't say it. Don't say it.
I think we'll all be able to use that wise advice from Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth today, maybe within the next hour. And while you're learning to avoid words that tear other people down, would you also do something else? Share Revive Our Hearts with a friend. Use your words to tell them about a program that'll build them up. Or if you're techie enough, download the Revive Our Hearts app onto their phone and show them how to use it. Nancy's going to be right back to pray. The teaching we heard today is from a larger series on the Proverbs 31 woman. It fits well with our month-long emphasis on being kind. You can find the link to that larger series in the transcript of today's program. Of course, this program was brought to you in part by members of our monthly partner team. And if that's you, thanks so much. Monthly partners commit to giving a certain amount each month, and they pray for the Revive Our Hearts team on a regular basis. They also help spread the word about our ministry resources to others. And in appreciation for their support, we shower them with gifts, including a free conference registration every year. There's more information about how you can join the Revive Our Hearts monthly partner team at our website, reviveourhearts.com. That's also where you can sign up to receive Nancy's booklet, A Deeper Kind of Kindness. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of any size right now. Again, the web address is reviveourhearts.com, or if you'd rather call, our number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. So, do your words turn away or stir up anger? We'll take a closer look at the power of a gentle word next week on Revive Our Hearts. I hope you'll join us for that. But right now, here's Nancy to pray that we'll learn to speak words of kindness and wisdom.
Father, we really, really, really need your help in this. We can't do this on our own. And we're around people who know just how to push our buttons. And often it's the people we live with that are where it's the hardest for us to apply this. Lord, it's not so hard for us sitting in this group, being with women who love the Lord and have a common interest in spiritual matters. It's not hard here to speak words of wisdom and kindness. But I know some of these women are going back into homes where they have family members who don't speak with wisdom and with kindness, where things are being said to them that are critical and unkind and hurtful. And it's going to take all the power of your Holy Spirit for those women to speak back words that are wise and kind. But you can do that in us and through us. And we pray that you would, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Challenging you to use wise and kind words. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.